How much more of a look? But you know what? If you pretend it's okay and this is just a dream and that's a night terror, or you take them and put them on meds. Folks, there was a demon attack in my daughter that came through perversion in my family line and some on John's side of just stuff that happens in life because Satan targets us. And it is time to expose the stuff, not be ashamed as if we did something. And if we did do something, bring it under the blood and not be ashamed, because had we known Christ, had we not had that iniquity come after us, we wouldn't have done the stuff. And start exposing darkness for darkness and hating it and getting it cleansed out of our family lines and not tolerating that devil going after our kids. Fighting it with prayer, fighting it with fasting. Apologizing to them if we ever let them watch a garbage show in our presence. Apologizing to them if we ever made them think that it's okay and normal. Read the Bible, it's not normal. If you can't see Christ doing it, don't think your kids have to do it. Don't you know God is watching? He's crying, grieved. That Christian kids brought up in Christian homes with the Holy Spirit all around are given into the ways of the world. None of it, nothing about it's funny. It's gross. Lust, a longing desire. Now listen to this. Eagerness to possess. Now you can have a lust for money, a lust for gain too. We want to get real. We're mainly talking about sexual lust right now, but any lust. A carnal appetite, an unlawful desire for carnal pleasure. It's a power, it says, to long after, to desire eagerly the gratifications of carnal appetite. See, we're supposed to desire God. We're supposed to desire holy things of God. And when we don't desire the things of God, the enemy's going to give us the things of evil to desire. Matthew 5 says, whoever even looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. To have irregular desires, to lust, to envy. Lust not after evil things as they are lusted. Okay. Let me see if there was another word here. Lots of the words lust being used. Let's see what this one means. Some people, we need to get free. If you've ever provided gratification for the lust of others, that's a prostitute or a pimp. They've given themselves over to be the object of someone else's lust. Maybe they did it for money. Maybe they were forced to do it. You want to be free from this. You want your family line free from this. You don't want Satan to have a legal right to come in and cause your children. You know, we have a whole society. They had a special on I think it was Oprah or something a couple years ago. And kids in junior high, the girls were giving oral sex to the guys on the bus as if it was no big deal, as if that's just something you do. Some of these things with these frat houses and the little sisters and all this kind of junk, it's a lot of it's so perverted. It's like they just give sexual gratification. Father, right now, I just come before you, Lord, and we bind up the spirit of lust in this place. So, God, we can talk about these things without the spirit of lust being stirred up. We take authority of it now in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no authority in this place, and you're being exposed, and you're going to get out. Whoa! In the name of Jesus, and you're going to lose your power and your hold over the people of God and over the people who are listening to this through the tapes. We see you, we hate you, we don't agree with you, and you're going to have no authority in our lives or in our families. We're coming after you in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus did not lust after the woman at the well. He did not lust over the woman who came to him in adultery. He didn't make jokes about it. He didn't kid about it. He recognized the bondage of the enemy, how men's lust had used her for prostitution. He recognized how horrible it is when a woman feels like all she's good for and the only way she'll ever have a man is if she fulfills his lust and then takes on her own spirit of lust. This is all a perversion. This is all a perversion of something awesome that God has given us. Provocative, exciting, stimulating, tending to awaken or incite appetite or passion. Let's be real. Look at the fashions that are everywhere. Look at the swim. Look at the stuff that's going on. See, I'm going to tell you something. Covering everything up is not necessarily the answer. But getting to a place of being holy in Christ and not needing to show everything because you're not trying to either incite somebody's appetite for lust or fulfill it. Our society is so that when you walk, you know, across the street and some guys whistle at you, that used to make people feel good if you're not in Christ. But I tell you what, if somebody whistles at me with that lustful thing, and even though I know I'm old as the hills, it still happens sometimes. But even since I've been walking with God for over 20 years, 20 years ago, I wasn't old as the hills. And people, and I know I got to a place where every time a spirit of lust would rise up in somebody and make me its target, I would take authority over the thing. I would tell the Lord, I want that to get the punishment of Satan, and I want that person saved in the name of Jesus. And I would release angels to go and save that lustful person and set them free. I don't play around with it. If somebody tries to flirt, I look at them like they're insane and say something to stop whatever they're trying to say. All I have to say is, well, I'm a minister of the Word of God. You know, oh, I'm really sorry, ma'am. I'm really sorry, ma'am. I remember Carrie and I went up to look at the colleges at Tech because Mitchell was going to be going there or something. We were there for some reason, and we're driving back. Those who know Carrie know she's got a CB radio, and we're driving along in her Element, which is kind of ugly. She has they're ugly cars anyway, but hers is that orange one with all this canine stuff and all. And these truck drivers start talking on their CBs about the cuties and the little ugly car. And so Carrie gets on there and she says, "What? Don't make fun of my car," or something. They go, "Oh, she's got it." Sitting there back and forth. And so this guy's kind of talking some, "What are y'all up to?" blah, blah, blah. And Carrie's like, "Well, I'm with my pastor." And all of a sudden, this guy's like, "Well, praise God, I'm a Christian myself," and all this and that. And he even started trying to preach at us a little bit. You know. But you know, you don't tolerate evil. You don't sit there and smile at it. You just look at somebody and say, "You know, you really need some deliverance. You really need some help." By the time I finish this teaching in the next couple of weeks and show you what happened to David, I'm believing there's not going to be anybody chuckling about hanging on to lust. I believe God's going to give me the anointing to make you hate it before the enemy gets to expose you, before the enemy gets to ruin your marriage, before the enemy takes your calling, before he takes your ministry call, before he gets it all over your kids. That's one thing about the kind of anointing God's given me. I can make you hate it before the devil does. And then you don't have to go through what he has planned to make you hate it. Yay. That's why you really ought to bring your kids here on the Sunday night things. God just really, I need to really pray. Okay. Now listen to this. The word sensual means pertaining to the senses as distinct or different from the mind or soul. Pertaining to the flesh or body in opposition to the spirit, not spiritual or holy. Devoted to the gratification of senses, given to indulgences of the appetite. Now this is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to see that I don't know that I saw before. When we have lust, we do not realize how much we are shortchanging ourselves. from what God really intended. The whole thing of intimacy and giving ourselves to someone else should first be a very spiritual experience and an experience of our soul. In other words, we should be drawn together by the Spirit of God. It should be the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit of God in someone else and the Spirit of God in you, bringing you together for God's glory, bringing you together with God Himself in the middle of it to make sure you never go through divorce, to make sure that your kids don't suffer what other people's kids are suffering, to make sure that you have an awesome relationship that glorifies God. And we talked about that in the marriage teaching. That's why when God says you're one flesh, He only says it when it's a born-again believer with another born-again believer, because He knows I'm in this, I'm in them, and they can get through anything. And when God says that, you can think you're divorced, but according to God, if you leave that relationship and sleep with somebody else, you are an adulterer. And until you repent, you're going to go to hell. Why don't we preach the word like it says? Now, there's a big difference between being married to an unbeliever or not being a believer when you get married. And I'm not going to get the marriage tapes. They're awesome. I'm not kidding. Those marriage tapes are so thorough. Here's what the Lord said to me to make me understand. I said, God, that just seems kind of unfair. That seems kind of harsh. And here's what He said to me. If society says that abortion is not murder, is abortion murder? What does everybody say? Yes. Why? Because God says it's murder. Now, if God says, if a born-again believer comes together with another born-again believer, they're one. And what I put together, let nobody take apart. They're married. But the government says, you're divorced. Who's right? And that's why He says you're an adulterer. Nobody should get married. Nobody should marry anybody, as far as in the sense of a pastor marrying somebody, unless they tell them the truth. Now God says if that other person has an affair, you can walk away. They're the adulterer. He's not going to hold their sin against you having an awesome life with somebody else. What an awesome God. When you're separated, that's not the time to date. That's the time to seek the Lord and see if He can bring restoration and healing. Unless that person sleeps with somebody else, and it's over. Now, I'm not saying that God can't heal that, but that's another whole process that needs a lot of deliverance for you to ever trust and love again. Do you understand? God says you're one when there's the Spirit of God in each person. Until then, you're unequally yoked. And you just keep believing for God to get His Holy Spirit in your spouse. Everything changes when both people are Spirit-filled or the Holy Spirit lives in them. Why? Because God can handle anything. Amen. And that's why God says if there's peace in the home, stay married and keep believing. Because if there's peace in the home, more than likely God's going to get that person saved. And then you're going to have that spiritual union that God always desired for you to have. Isn't that powerful? But when everything's about lust, then none of it matters. It's all about appetites. And let me get my flesh appetite full on you. And you get. And we're not going to get to it this week, but we're going to look at next week, I believe. Look at what happened with David's son when he gets what he lusts after. We're going to get this stuff out of our hearts. We get this stuff out of our hearts. You cannot really have that awesome union that God has for you unless you're equally yoked. I mean, I get made fun of. I don't want my children dating unbelievers. And I will pray against every unbeliever that gets near them. to Miriam, to what is there to work with? What does God have to work with to keep that relationship together? What's there in common? I break soul ties. I don't want, the only thing that can draw you to somebody is lust if it's not God. But that's the whole world. That's the whole dating thing. That's horrible. That's why the divorce rate is so high. That's why families are so torn apart. That's why kids are going through divorce. This stuff is bad, you guys. God never wanted some little kid to have to go stay with mom for a few days and come stay with dad for a few days and not even know where they're supposed to be living. That was never, ever God's intention. And thank God he's faithful, and thank God he can work it, and thank God there's no condemnation in Christ. But it's really time as believers to do this thing God's way. He doesn't expect us to do it his way until we're saved, because if it's not for his grace, you can't. So don't beat yourself up for your past. You can't change your past. You can put it under the blood, learn from it, really be changed, and deal with your now. And there's enough grace in God to take care of the kids of those in here who are have gone through divorce. God will teach you how. He'll show you how to be that godly parent. He'll show you how to take care of them. You know, I've somewhere on one of my teachings somewhere, it may not even be back there anymore, I remember having men come to the meetings and moan and groan. One man had like five kids from women he wasn't married to. And he was so mad about all the child support that was taken out of his pay and almost having to go to jail. And he's so whiny about it. And he said he couldn't even take care of his wife and kids now. And I said, the very least you can do for your own kids is to pay for them. That's the least you can do for your own kids. If anybody in here has kids that they're having to pay child support for, you need to change your attitude. If it's not about God, give me more money so I can give them more. Let me not just pay till they're 18. God, give me the finances to get them through college. Let me be that father, God. Let me be that father every way that I can, that the enemy came in and stole from me. Do you see how messed up the world is? This isn't fair. How can I not pay this? They're your kids. It's the very least you could do because you're their father. And mom, quit knocking him and making him look terrible. You're to honor him because he's their father. Quiet in here tonight. What lust brings together, Satan's going to tear apart. What the Spirit of God brings together, God is able to maintain. Now, there's a lot of Christians that were Christians, but were living in the carnal realm. And lust brought it together, and they're struggling, and there's all these problems. And that's why we want to get lust out and get God in his rightful place in our lives and in our relationships. So that should be a spiritual thing first. And I'm not talking some weird New Age experience. I'm talking about God in them and God in me says, whoa, this is going to work. Spiritual. Then the soul part, you have a say. So get free from the false prophets who tell you who to marry, and there's only one, and prophesy over you who to marry. Tell them to go away. Tell them to leave you alone. Tell them to get deliverance. Because the truth is, God will draw you together, and then he allows you to have a soul to see if this is the person you like. To see if this is the person that you have things in common with. To see if this is the person who you want to spend the rest of your life with. So we go from a spiritual drawing together to a soul intimacy, an intimacy of personality, an intimacy of characteristics, an intimacy of I really like this person. That's why you need to get free from the Delilah spirit, ladies, and you need to get free from the spirit of Baal and Mammah, because you'll just go after somebody for money.